But if you have your Bibles open, maybe it's Psalm 119. You may find that helpful this morning as we look at these opening eight verses of this, the longest psalm in the Psalter. Those of us who are of a certain vintage will remember the television advertising campaign where the slogan was, "Happiness is..." And the answer was a cigar called, and you'll all remember the name of that brand of cigar, which is a marker of how successful that campaign was. And it's interesting to remember, even not that long ago, smoking was advertised on television, something that would be quite unthinkable in the day and age in which we are living. But for our day and age, I wonder if we were to answer that question, how would we answer it? Happiness is, what would the world say today? Happiness is winning the lottery. Happiness is being famous. Happiness is a night of late partying. Happiness is retiring early on a big pension. Happiness is owning the latest phone. Happiness is. Here this morning, as we turn to Psalm 119, the first word is the word blessed or happy. Happy are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the word of the law, to the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. What we have here is happiness defined not as the world defines happiness, but as God defines happiness. Here is what it is to be showered with God's favor, with God's blessing, with God's approval. This undeserved favor, this grace. Happy are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And basically what the psalmist is doing here is he is addressing the heart of man and the heart of woman. And his point is that if your heart is right, you will be right. If your inner core is right, your inner being is right and sorted, and you're what you're meant to be, then all of you will be right, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what possessions. If inside you're right, you're all right. But inside, if you're wrong, then you're all wrong. So he is seeking to address the heart here today, and of course the scripture says, above all else, guard your heart. Protect your heart. This is happiness as God defines happiness. So let's see today what God says happiness is and how it comes about. Let me pick out four characteristics of a happy heart today, or of a blessed heart. First of all, purity. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blameless. What does it mean to be blameless? Well, the opposite of blameless is blameworthy. If you're blameworthy, someone can point the finger at you and say, you did this or you did that, you're guilty. And they're right. You're blameworthy. But if you're blameless, no one can point the finger at you. No one can accuse you of doing anything wrong. You're blameless. Now, we live in a strange world. We live in a world where people say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth, and no one's allowed to say anybody's wrong. Everyone's supposed to be free to live as they choose. If it works for you, well and good. Who am I to judge? If that's fine for you. You go ahead and do it. In such a world in which we are living, everyone is blameless. But what if God has spoken? What if there is an outside voice that has come into this world and given us an authority and a set of laws, and it has revealed what is right and what is wrong? What if God has laid down a standard, a rule of faith? Let me suggest for a moment or two, let's suppose people here, I ask you, what size is a meter? And some folk will say, well, a meter's about this size. And somebody will say, well, a meter's maybe a bit more this size. And somebody will say, a meter's this size. And we'll all have our guess at what size a meter is. And how many of us will get it right, I'm not sure. But if someone produces a meter stick, a properly calibrated meter stick, and says, this is a meter, what we'll learn is that probably all of us were basically wrong. The meter stick tells us what is right with regards to a meter. And just so with God. God has told us in his word what is right and what is wrong. He has given us the measurement, not what society says, not what government says, not even necessarily what the church says, not what you feel inside is right or wrong. What does God's word say? Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, verse 1, who walk according to the law of the Lord, who are blameless in the eyes of the law of the Lord. This is where happiness is to be found, in purity of heart before God. The happy heart, the blessed heart, knows what God has said, how God defines right and how God defines wrong. The happy heart measures itself by God's word. And that's where purity is to be found. That's what it is to be blameless. It's amazing, really. You can have an exceptionally high opinion of yourself and of your behavior and regard yourself as doing really quite well and yet be completely blameworthy in the eyes of God. And likewise, you can have an incredibly low opinion of yourself and regard yourself as a nobody and a nothing, and yet be right in the eyes of God because you're living in accordance with the law of God. Happiness comes from a sense of purity, my life being lived in accordance with the Word of God. But secondly, as we think about the characteristics of a happy or of a blessed heart, we find, secondly, a seeking heart. It's more than just living according to a code or a set of rules. There must also be a seeking heart. Verse 2, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. That is, seek God with all their heart. Wonder if you ever tried to meet someone famous, maybe written to them, or gone to an event where they were appearing, and maybe you got to meet them and actually shook hands with someone famous. It's interesting, isn't it, that here in this psalm, having encountered the law of the Lord in verse 1, he then says, blessed are they who keep his statutes and who seek God with all their heart. Having found the word of God, now I want to meet the God of the word. The written word is marvelous, but how much more marvelous must the writer of the word be? Your favorite pop star may be Adele, and you love listening to her voice, but to actually meet her would take it to a whole new level. The psalmist is seeking no passing pop star. The psalmist here is seeking the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and he says, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their hearts. And notice he is seeking God with all of his heart. If God is God and God is good and worthy of praise and honor and glory, and God is the exalted one who rules over all and will rule over all, we must not come to him half-heartedly. We must seek him with all of our hearts. Deuteronomy 4 says, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul, I wonder how many people who claim to be seeking God don't find God because they're not seeking with all their heart and with all their soul. They're half-hearted. Verse 10 of Psalm 119, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And I think of the Apostle Paul, and I find one of the most challenging verses in all of his letters where he writes about Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle Paul who has met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. This is the Apostle Paul who has preached his way across the Mediterranean, founding churches. This is the Apostle Paul who has suffered greatly for the cause of Jesus Christ and put his life on the line time after time after time again. And as he writes to the church, he says, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be found conformable to him in his life and in his death, that I may know him. He's still seeking God. You never, ever come to the point in your life, if you're a Christian this morning, where you say, I've made it, and I know all there is to know. The happy heart is a seeking heart with all of your heart. Happiness, yes, is keeping the statutes, but also seeking the Lord of the statutes. There's no treasure in life more valuable than Jesus Christ. He is the altogether lovely one, says the Song of Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine. A pure heart, a seeking heart. Thirdly, a realistic heart is also needed if happiness is going to be found. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Or let me change the accent in how I've said that. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in seeking your decrees. Think of a boat. And it's been tied from the shore, and when the tide comes in, the boat rises, and when the tide goes out again, the boat goes back down again and sits on the beach. The owner of the boat one day forgets to tie the boat. The tide comes in and the boat rises, but when the tide goes out, the tide takes the boat with it, and it drifts. The human heart has a tendency to drift. Your heart drifts, my heart drifts. And here is the great psalmist. And remember, this is the longest psalm in the whole of the Bible. There's 176 verses, the longest chapter in the whole of the Bible, 176 verses. This psalm is a literary masterpiece. It's in 22 sections. The first section in the Hebrew, every verse begins with the letter A. In the second section, every verse begins with the letter B. In the third section, every verse begins with the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on, right the way through the chapter, right the way through the 22 letters of the alphabet. It's for learning off by heart, you see. This is someone who loves God's word, who is holding up God's word. I think he uses 8 different expressions to describe God's word. And yet this man who loves the Lord and who loves the word of the Lord is realistic enough to say, oh, that my ways were steadfast. None of us ever get to the point where we feel in ourselves that we've made it. It doesn't matter who you are in the Christian life or what role you've ascended to in the Christian life. It doesn't matter what office you hold. Your tendency is to drift. The prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And even when we meet with God and when we discover the delights of God's word, verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. We still feel there must be riches somewhere else that we ought to be going after. We drift. and we tend to rebel. The hymn writer said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone. Wonder if there's someone listening to me this morning and your heart is no longer the blessed and happy heart it once was. You've been wandering, and you know it, drifting. And maybe you're still fulfilling some role in your church and your congregation, and you're still pushing on with heading up even a work, and yet inside you're drifting. Probably following some idol, and you think if you could only get that idol, that's where your happiness would be found. I mentioned lost sheep a few moments ago, and sheep often get lost unawares, as it were. But I once had a spaniel dog, and he didn't get lost unawares. When he got the smell of a rabbit or of a hare, nothing turned him. Nothing. And he went over field after field after field with me after him, trying to bring him back again. He was a wayward dog. Some of our hearts are wayward, aren't they? We're not drifting. We're deliberately drifting, deliberately walking away. And we're not keeping going. We're stubborn. And we've lost the blessedness and the happiness and the contentedness. And this is why the psalmist is realistic. And he's giving us forms of prayer here. And he is saying, can you not pray this? Can you not get yourself before God and say, oh, that my ways were steadfast, Lord. Forgive me for drifting. Forgive me for deliberately wandering, Lord. I want to come back to the place of blessedness again. He's praying himself back. And the last thing here, blessedness is a pure heart, a seeking heart, a realistic heart. It's also a praising heart. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous decrees. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous decrees. We live in a funny age, don't we? Do you know the Greek legend of Narcissus? Narcissus was the young man who sat down beside a lake. And he looked into the lake, and he saw the reflection of his own face, and he thought, what a handsome man. He fell in love with his own reflection. And the more he looked, and the more he admired himself, he fell in and drowned. Because he loved himself. And we live in a society where people love themselves and see themselves as the center of the world. I'm not saying it's wrong to take a selfie, but we live in the selfie generation. Whoa, look at me. Even this week, incredible. The guy who took the selfie with the hijacker on the Egyptian airline. Amazing. Look at me with the hijacker. Amazing. Our society is self-obsessed, curved in on itself, hypochondriacs. It's a society we live in. We are self-focused, self-obsessed, the selfie generation, but the psalmist says, I will praise you with an upright heart. Turns the focus outside of himself. I will praise you with an upright heart. We praise God because God is a God of order, who has given us his word, who has given us his law, who has given us his ways of doing things, his structures, and he is able to change me as a person. And I need change as a person. I don't know about you, but I am conscious of my need of change as a person. And I'm so glad God has given me his word, and through his word I encounter God, and this is the way he changes me as I learn through his word. He has also laid down precepts for me, like a railway line being laid down. And I mean, if a railway line is laid down, there's a line of steel here and there's a line of steel here, and as long as the train keeps to the tracks, the train's good. God's word is like train tracks, keep inside it, you're all right. But go off the side and you're in trouble. And if we would be morally safe and get to our destination, which is Jesus Christ, we've got to stay within the tram lines that God has given. And these verses tell us also that God is always right. His laws are righteous laws. The devil says God's laws are terribly restrictive. God's laws are terribly enslaving. You need to go for freedom, but God's laws are righteous laws. God is always right. And who wants to be wrong? If you want to be right, you should follow the righteous God. And even should we go wrong, and we shall go wrong, God brings us back again. As he says in John 10, they shall never perish. So we praise God for his law. We praise God that we're not in the dark. We praise God for his teaching that provides for our safety. We praise God for his righteousness, that the judge of all the earth always does right and always loves his people and always brings his people through and always glorifies his son. As I close then today, I'm emphasizing blessedness, happiness, and I'm showing you how this state is about your heart. Could I ask you this morning, have you entered into this blessedness? That's why I read from Romans 4 earlier on. Blessed are they whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Blessed is that man. You can have many blessings in life. You might say to me today, Richard, I am blessed. I've got good health. I'm blessed with a good job. I'm blessed with a good wife or a good husband or good children. I'm blessed because I live in a good country. I'm blessed because I've got a good church. I'm blessed because I've got good friends. But you know what? You can have all of those things. And yes, they are blessings up to a point. But if you don't have your sins forgiven, you don't have the blessing of God. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. Whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. You see, one day your health will go, one day your children will go, one day your country will go, one day your church, you'll leave it all behind. And if your sins are not forgiven, there's no blessing beyond the grave. None. Encourage you today, if you're not forgiven, if you don't know this, then turn to Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. We thought about this with the children. He died on Friday. He was raised from the dead on the Sunday, and today he is at God's right hand. You need to turn to him and say, Lord, I want the blessing. I want this work of your Spirit in my life. I want to be forgiven my sins. I want a new life. I want, Lord God, to live your way. I'm tired of sin. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to call, but I can't save you. The church can't save you. Your friends can't save you. Only you calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord, will you save me? That's the only salvation that comes through Calvary. And if you are a Christian today and you're claiming to be walking with God, are you practicing this purity of heart? It is not easy in such an impure world. It's not. Sometimes you just turn the TV on and there it is in front of you, sin. And you feel yourself you've been soiled just simply by seeing some image or hearing some word. But the Christian is someone who is seeking a pure heart, who is seeking a seeking heart, a realistic heart. They know they'll not be perfect in this world, but nevertheless, they're keeping on praising God and seeking God and walking with God, because they know that this is where the blessing is to be found and the richness is to be found and the favor of God is to be found. And look at how he ends in verse 8. I will obey your decrees. There's a resolution, isn't there? I will obey your decrees. And then he says this, do not utterly forsake me. In other words, Lord, don't leave me to do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Will you stick beside me? You stick by me. And there's a sense, of course, in which the scripture says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So how can he say, do not utterly forsake me? But he is simply acknowledging that in and of himself, he can't do this. He has to have God's strength. None of us can do this on our own. We have to have God's strength. We have to have Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then we can do it. Then we can walk God's way. Then we can serve God. So what about your heart today? Are you guarding your heart? Is it a blessed heart? Or do you need to address your heart and seek, using perhaps these words even before God this afternoon, get down on your bedside and pray over this prayer and let God continue to speak about these important matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for what the psalmist has to teach us about what it means to live in obedience to your law, to your word. We thank you that you're a God who has not left us to guess, but that, Father, you have revealed your truth. And our God, we pray that you would help us, Lord God, to obey your truth, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the word, and thus give glory to Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be blessed, may our hearts be enriched, and Father, may we flourish before you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.